Fresh Broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthur's.
And good Thursday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthur's, and we're going to spend the next half hour together talking about the Word of God, and we're really excited. Now, we are beginning to wind down this segment of our study on not bearing false witness and the culture of lying that it has, and the fact that this is God's way of delivering us from evil. And we're going to look at some ramifications of that. On yesterday's program, we were talking about in Daniel chapter 11 that this ruler would create a culture of deception. But before we get into that, I do want to share with you, I'd shared earlier this week, I believe it was, that there's a passage in Jeremiah that talks about that we are not to be lax in doing the work of the Lord. That's in Jeremiah chapter 48, verse number 10. That whatever God has assigned us to do, that we should do that dutifully. And so I thought I was done with that, and had talked with that. By the way, my name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merit Assembly of God, and we'd love to have you come and visit with us this Sunday morning at 10:30 or Sunday school at 9:30. So I thought I was done with that, and then as I went away and kind of, you know, decompressed and things like that, God spoke a word to me, and he said, "And when my work is for you to rest, you need to do that as well. You need to be just as actively involved in resting as you are in working." So, you know, in the New Testament, the work of God was to believe. So we talked a lot about occupational or ministry type areas, but the work that God has for us is also simply to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he says it is time to rest, we need to believe in God's wisdom. We need to believe in God's refreshing, that he's going to strengthen us, and that we're going to be able to accomplish more as a result of us being wholeheartedly invested in God's wisdom to rest. Robert Morris has a book that is either out or getting ready to come out titled, you know, Take the Day Off. And for many of us that are in this hustle and bustle of activity, rest seems like a waste of time, but it is really obedience to the command of God in keeping the Sabbath and resting. God knows that resting causes us to be more productive than if we just go all the time. I remember hearing a story about a guy who, you know, had just gone out and had become a logger, and on that first day he chopped down just a record number of trees. It was his first day on the job. He was young, and he just did gangbusters, and everybody was so impressed, and they said, "Well, you know, that's just fantastic. That's amazing." And so he said, "Oh, today was nothing. Wait till you see tomorrow." And the next day he worked harder and cut down fewer trees. And then the next day he worked harder and cut down still fewer trees, and worked harder the next day and cut down still fewer trees. And finally, an experienced logger went over to him and he said, "Son, how long has it been since you took the time to sharpen your axe?" And when we come to God and we're worshiping on Sunday, that is a spiritual boost for us. So when we have midweek service, it is like giving a turbocharge to it. Is a spiritual rest that God wants us to be able to enter. So I just wanted to share that little addendum there, that it doesn't mean that we are going and going and going and going and going all the time, just pedal to the metal. But instead, whatever assignment God has given us to do, we're not going to do that deceitfully. We're not going to give it a half-hearted attempt. We are going to be very diligent. And so when God says to rest, let's rest. And so anyway, there is the update on that. So now to Daniel chapter 11. We were talking yesterday about this leader who had created a culture of deception, and it was going to not work out well for people in the end. But in verse number 25, that was in verse number 23, it says, "He shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, and the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand, for they shall devise plans against him. Yes, those who eat of the portion of his delicacies shall destroy him, his army shall be swept away, and many shall fall down slain. Both these kings' hearts shall be bent on evil, and they shall speak lies at the same table, but it shall not prosper for the end will still be at the appointed time." So what we see here is that there are people, they're sitting down at the table, they actually have the same inclination. They are both bent or inclined towards evil. And it says that while they are sitting there, they will speak lies at the same table. You know, it may feel comfortable to be of a kindred spirit, but here's what I found is that if a person is a liar and another person lies to them, they are just as offended as a person who tells the truth, and maybe more so. You know, who are you and what causes you to think that you can lie to me? I'm a better liar than you are. I remember hearing a story about some world leaders who had gathered together. There were two that spoke the same language and another one that did not. And it dawned on them as they were going through these negotiations, and there was translators involved on that, they began to suspect that one of the other leaders, the one that did not speak the common language with them, they began to suspect that he might be able to understand their conversation. And so one of them told a joke to the other one, and the person that they suspected of knowing the language but not coming out and saying he knew the language began to laugh. He laughed at the joke, showing that he understood what they were talking about. You see, this world system, this Babylonian system, it's the system that's not from the kingdom of God, but, you know, the Bible talks about, it operates and is identified as a Babylonian system of government. Deception is one of the primary tools that they use, and they don't like it when it is used against them. So their philosophy is tell the truth when necessary, but if lying serves your purpose better, then just go ahead and lie. There are a number of things that are done like that. There is a passage that, let me see if I can find it here. I've got so many notes that here it is in Hosea chapter 12, verse number 7. Hosea is the next book over to the right. Hosea chapter 12, verse number 7. It says, "A cunning Canaanite, deceitful scales are in his hand. He loves to oppress." And Ephraim said, "Surely I have become rich. I have found wealth for myself. In all my labors there they shall find in me no iniquity that is sin." So it's not just at the governmental table where people lie, but there is also a huge temptation in our modern day and time to operate with deception. And that's what's described here, deceitful scales, where there are two different things. There is a heavier stone, because everything was done by weight in biblical times. And so whenever they were buying something, they would take out the heavier stone and they would get as much product as they could. And then when they went to sell it, they would use a lighter stone, so they were giving away less than what the person thought they were getting. It was one of the ways of oppressing poor people. And so you just need to understand, and I need to understand, that if we are talking about people who are operating from a different form of government than God's government, where truth is only used when necessary, where God's God's kingdom is a kingdom of truth. We need to understand what we're dealing with. And so whenever election season, you know, there were elections here not too long ago, and we'll talk a little bit about that in just a minute. But as long as you understand the dynamic of what's going on, then you're better off. In the business world, I've told this story to a number of people, and that is there were vendors that we used to use that we quit using because we got tired of them constantly lying to us. And then when I talked to them, when I explained why, I told them that from our experience, the company had a culture of deception. From our dealings with them, we had determined that there was a culture of deception with the intent of getting as much money out of us for providing the least amount of service as possible. So we are different type of church in one sense. I know a lot of churches, and I don't pretend to understand all of the financial dynamics and everything like that, but a lot of people are constantly, saying, we'll offer this. It's only going to cost you X amount of dollars. We, on the other hand, have an investment culture at Merit Assembly of God. We like to invest in our people, because when we invest in them, they're going to come back better equipped and better servants. So it's not that we're looking to recklessly spend money, but instead we want to invest in them. So when we were doing our Bible study, we're going through a book called Leveling the Praying Field. We actually bless the people with the book that are going to come to the Bible study and they're going to read it. So we want to sow into them. Because, listen, if Merit Assembly of God, the people who attend there, pray better, we're gonna have a spiritual dynamic that is taking place that this community greatly needs. Merit Assembly of God needs people who can pray effectual, fervent, righteous prayers. And so that's where we are. If you are a business person, please do not think, if you're a Christian business person, do not think that you can operate your Christian business with worldly principles of deceitful scales and that God will not notice. That is not going to happen. You are held to a different study or a different standard than what other people might be. Now, there's a... we're going to go back and look at another passage in Hosea in just a minute. But first of all, I want to take you over to the book of Micah and chapter 2. Micah chapter 2. Just to the left of Habakkuk, Nahum. And just after the book of Jonah, Micah chapter 2, verse number 11. Let's see where we're going to, verse number 10 is where we're going to start reading. Arise and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is defiled, it shall destroy, yes, with utter destruction. If a man should walk in a false spirit and speak a lie, saying, I will prophesy to you of wine and drink, even he would be the prattler of this people. First of all, it's not rattler, it's prattler. And I had to go back and look up several years ago because I was reading through the scripture and it was talking about a prating person, which is, another variant of this word. And it It basically is a word that means a foolish rambler, a speaker who really has no clue as to what he's talking about. So here in Micah chapter 2, we see that if a man should walk in a false spirit, that is a deceitful spirit that has become a lifestyle. And I had a person that told me something one time. They were describing a situation, and they said, this person has told this so many times that they have convinced themselves that this is true. And, you know, that is one of the strategies of an ungodly world, is you tell the same lie over and over and over and over and over again until society accepts it as substantiated fact. And that's just not the way that God wants us to operate. He wants us walking in the spirit of truth. It says, if this person began to operate in the gift of prophecy and did so by speaking a lie, and he says, I will prophesy to you of wine and drink, even he would be the rambling idiot for this people, this foolish person. He would be the perfect prophet for this society, because he would be feeding them the lie that they want to hear. And so I am constantly amazed that people so willingly are gullible enough to believe on the surface, on face value, just what people say. Now, as Christians, one of the reasons for that is because we are so used to telling the truth, and we live in a culture of telling the truth, that it is hard for us to comprehend that there are people who live a lifestyle that is a complete falsehood. And they are so engaged in that, that they want to use that deception to numb the society. Listen to what he talks about. He said, I will prophesy to you of wine and drink, things that would impair your ability to discern things in an accurate and timely manner. It would cause your sobriety to be questioned. There are people who want to compromise your judgment, your wisdom, and cause you to be held up as an example of inconsistency, if you will, to discredit you and discredit me. We don't need to do that. There is a saying that says people get the leaders they deserve. That is a terrifying thing. A lot of times, you know, when I was younger, I would read the Bible and say, this king led the people astray. And in many cases, you know, there was some of that took place. But as I began to look at things as the years went by, I saw that one of the reasons that the leader was able to get by with all of that stuff was because he was in the same place spiritually that the people were. So every time political season goes around, you can just expect the same lies and deception to come around. You and I, we need to pray. God has a solution to the pervasiveness of people lying while sitting at the same table with one another, lying while doing business with one another, or lying in a spiritual context, and prophesying things that are not going to empower believers, but actually compromise believers. Every time there's a season that comes around, you can just expect that there is deception. The solution is the spirit of discernment. The solution is knowing the Word of God and how to evaluate the Word of God. You know, say, you know what? The word of God is settled forever. It's not compromised. How does what I am hearing, how does what I'm seeing line up with the word of God? Not the other way around. Too many people are trying to conform the word to their circumstances instead of conforming the circumstances to the word of God. Now, let's go back to the book of Hosea, and we're going to look at the first three verses. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away with the beasts of the field, and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea, will be taken away. The very first thing that the Lord brings as a charge against the people of Israel is that there is no truth. Now, society for the past several decades has been trying to convince us that there's your truth, there's my truth, but there is no absolute truth. Well, I want you to know that there is absolute truth. There are also people who don't understand about absolutes and preferences and convictions, and they want to take their conviction and make it absolute truth. Many of the people who railed against the church for proclaiming absolute truth and saying, you know what, there is no such thing as absolute truth, now that they have begun to have greater influence in society and Christians have to some degree been marginalized, they want to say, well, there is actually absolute truth. There's the truth that we tell you is absolute truth, even if it is an absolute lie. So if you want to see society go downhill, if you want to see the society of your business, your church, your home, you just discard the truth, set it aside, and you will begin to see that there is going to be a downside. There is a complete and total different outcome for people who speak the truth as opposed to those who speak a lie. There's no mercy. Okay? Truth is merciful. I'm going to say that again. Truth is merciful. We have a society right now that wants to say, well, if you are really a merciful person, you're not going to confront people with the absolute truth. I am not of that inclination in the least little bit. I believe that if we are going to tell people the truth, that's the most merciful thing that we can do. You know, I am a person that believes in mercy. Mercy is my primary gift. And when I was much younger, there wasn't quite as much balance in my life. I was just all mercy all the time. And I realized that at some point in time, the most merciful thing that you can do is deal with the problem rather than making the problem live through an entire other cycle. How many times do you want to go around this mountain? I'll never forget the time that God asked me that question. Here's what happened. Now, how many times do you want to go around this mountain? I said, you know what? I only want to go around one time. Thank you very much. And so I have not fallen into the trap that deceived me before. I've said, you know what, God? We're going to continue to pursue. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. The Bible talks about the people who know their God shall do great exploits. The church is desperately crying out for the reality that we as a society need to be pressing in to know God more than we've ever known him before. To seek him, if we seek him with our whole heart, we're going to find him. But we will never find him whenever we are just searching haphazardly. So there has been a great purging that has been going on in our home organization, throwing things away, you know, getting things organized, all of that sort of stuff. And so as now you would have to understand the craziness of our schedule. We tend to run a great deal. We're active. My wife works. She's active at work. She's active at church. She's active at home. She's active in the wedding that's getting ready to come up. Pray for us. You know, here in just a couple of days. All sorts of activity that goes on. And in our house, we clean from the front door to our bedroom. And so our bedroom, by the time we normally get to there, we're starting to run out of the margin that we had to do that. And so things get dumped in there. So recently, my wife has been going through all sorts of piles of stuff. And they're my piles, they're her piles, they're our piles. I mean, there's just lots of stuff that accumulates in there. And in the process of doing that, she found something that a year ago we were looking for and could not find. We couldn't find them. We found them this time because we were searching not just for a thing, we were searching for a goal. Today, I want to encourage you, elevate your expectation to where you are not just looking for what God can do for you, but you're looking for God. You're looking for God in your own life. You're looking for God in your heart and in your mouth. You're looking for God in your timeline. You're looking for God in your family. You're looking for God at work. You're looking for God to show up and show off at church. You're looking for God in your finances and your relationships. I want to encourage you today that if we want an outcome different from the destruction society has to offer us, we've got to elevate what we're looking for and say, God, I don't want just what you can do for me. I want to know you. I want to know you to the best of my capability. I know that we're talking about a finite mind knowing an infinite God. I don't think we're ever going to get there in this mortal life, but I tell you what, we can know him better. And I want to know him better. I challenge you to. We'll finish this passage up tomorrow. Till then, we'll see you right here on the Refresh Radio
Broadcast. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
The word says, for the spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise. That's how we fight our battles.
This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles.
What we're doing tonight.
This is how I find my battles.
Just when you think you're lost.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Hey.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It is how I find my way.